Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, former bank robber Richard Stanley. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and your calls in a segment of Hobo Power brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. And now, so fresh from seeing Alec Baldwin, he still smells like scotch and anger. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We rely on you for spreading the good news around here, don't we, Gina Grad?
We sure do. Good day.
And Baldwin.
Quiet.
That's Baldwin. Just back from New York, where I was with Baldwin. Brian is going to do a little review on the latest way to fly.
Yeah, just Sweet X.
We also found our pub and our airplane, which is the only way to fly, which we'll figure that out in a second. Play some Hobo Power. Tell you about Continental. That's right. Defunct, I think, Continental with Jim Backus doing the commercial. The only way to fly, like a rich guy talking about the pub. All right. So I just got back from playing a match game.
How many episodes did you tape?
I did I did three, which is six games, which is a long
three times, fool.
Long time. I flew into New York City. I landed about 9:30, got to my hotel room about 10:30, and got picked up about 9 a.m. to do a match game, and then hustled out, where they literally like packed your bag and threw it in the town car at about 6:15 to get to JFK to get out on a 9 p.m. flight. So I was there about 23 and a half hours. And I realized the last, I'd say 7 to 11 times I've been to New York, I've been there for less than 24 hours. And that's just because of my schedule.
That's how you know you've made it.
Yeah.
Yes. When you can't enjoy anything, that's
right.
How you know.
That's what
success looks
you've
like.
Made it. Like I woke up on Tuesday morning. I looked out of my 51st floor hotel they put me up in, and I showed up at night. I didn't know where I was exactly. I looked out, big window, and it was Central Park.
Oh,
nothing
gorgeous.
But Central Park, and it was glorious, the weather. And I thought, huh, I should take a nice walk through Central Park. And then I thought,
then
no.
It's time to go.
It's time to go. I'm getting picked up, going down there. Baldwin was great. Baldwin and I, Baldwin's a funny guy. Well, Baldwin, two things. I was sitting in the makeup chair. He puts me in chair number one. They have a seating chart, 1 through 6. And chair number one is the one that's top deck, closest to him, that
right.
He walks over to and sort of hangs
stand.
Out. And while everyone else is locking in their answers, does a little back and forth with. I am flattered that I'm always in chair number one and only in chair number one. Other people move around. Cheryl Hines and people like that, they move them around from seat to seat. I've
it's
done
like
the show.
Sinatra's booth at the Italian restaurant. It's known as your chair.
I've done the show six times now, and I've only been in that chair. And I think Baldwin likes me nearby because he knows he can go to me for some found humor. And it makes his job easier, as we discussed. Two things. I was sitting in the makeup chair, and I was getting the makeup on in the morning. And at some point, Baldwin came in behind me, and he slapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, went to dinner last night with a guy. He's a big fan of yours. And as a matter of fact, we were talking about you, how much we liked you,
Mr. Gavin Newsom. Here he is."
Yes, and I started having these fantasies about is it De Niro?
Oh yeah.
Who's it? Maybe lower end Stephen Colbert, higher end Clooney. You know who?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden
plugs into the whole, scene.
Who we talking to? Who we talking about? Oh, guys, guy's a big fan, and I told him to come by today to say hi to you because he's a big fan.
Clarence Thomas.
And I was like, yeah, I'll put a pube on my Coke for him. And I was like sitting there going, ooh, Baldwin's out to dinner with some heavy hitter.
Yeah, mystery man.
The guy's a big fan of mine. They both talked about how much they liked me. This guy gushed. And he's going to bring him by today to say hi. I was just like, my mind was reeling. Who is this mystery A-lister that's going to swing by and kiss my ass at some point?
My driver, Ted.
Almost. Jason Schrift. We got to find a picture of Schrifty.
Schrifty
worked for a while.
Jay Schrift?
On Loveline, although I didn't know it. I then met him as a segment producer on The Man Show.
Oh.
And then he worked for Kimmel as a segment producer. Not exactly A-list.
It's somebody you've worked with before.
He's on A-list.
I've worked with it. Yes. He's on a list. Schindler's.
Right.
I've worked with the guy for, I think I've known him for 21 years. We've always gotten along just fine.
Okay.
He was out with Baldwin because Baldwin's doing a TV show and Schrifty's working on it. I'm just saying, in the pantheon of built up Baldwin out to dinner, bringing him by, the guy's a big fan. I know Schrifty's a big fan. I mean, we've gotten along great for the 21 years we've known each other. Little disappointing when Schrifty was coming by, but all right. So there was that. Later on, there was this, which was kind of a funny thing. I was talking to Baldwin. Baldwin was talking to everyone, but he was telling me he's doing an ABC show, and they're doing it in, I think 10 o'clock, Sunday nights. They're doing it weekly. They're on the schedule. They're on the fall lineup. It's a one-on-one sort of long form interviews and no audience, blah, blah, blah. Charlie Rose style minus the Charlie molestation. Mm-hmm. And then the part where he said, here's what's dawned on me. What's dawned on me to these guys who basically, they're getting, no one wants to do the dance anymore. Talk to the segment producer, come up with some funny stories about the summer vacation that went wrong and the family, and then sit there and make small talk for a 7-minute thing where you never really get to explore anything. Everyone goes, I want to do what I want to do now. And I realize what's going on in our industry is they're paying, Seinfeld, they're paying Letterman, they're going to pay Baldwin. They're not paying them for them, although half of them they're paying for them. They're paying them for the Rolodex.
Yeah.
They know that Baldwin can get De Niro to come sit down
or
for
Jason
a long story.
The greats.
The unicorn. Yeah. The great white whale. Yes. They know what you're paying for when you're going to give these guys a ton of money is you're paying for their Rolodex.
For their access.
They know everybody, and it's incestuous. Baldwin will get Seinfeld will get Baldwin, De Niro will get him on that, they'll get Stern to do that, and Letterman to do this. And it's this weird thing, which is, I've been in the business for 35 years, I have this crazy Rolodex, and if you want a long-form discussion with Letterman, Jimmy Pardo ain't going to get it done.
Right.
But this guy, Baldwin, will get it done.
Right.
So half of why we're backing up a Brinks truck to Baldwin's place is for Baldwin, and then the other half is for who he can get, right?
Yep.
And it's this big secular, circular thing that is just going on. Just going around. This guy gets that guy on his show. That guy gets this guy on his show.
Self-perpetuating machine. Yeah.
Right. And then we're getting all these great long-form interviews with everybody because of the relationships. Speaking of relationships, we have relationships with MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you and save some money. Dollar Shave Club as well. Just use the shave cream. Great stuff. Go to DollarShaveClub.com. Castrol Edge. Tweet us your question. Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Castrol Edge question. So we'll get into that. In a few. So it's this funny thing. So Baldwin is sitting in the room where you have to play the mock game or what to do or what, you know, in an insane world, which is like, you can draw a penis on your card. No problemo. You can't draw hair on the penis or balls, and you can't draw anything coming out of the penis. It's just good science.
I was going to say, right.
No veins.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
Again.
I'm surprised you have to even say it.
It's always, you may draw boobies, but you can't take that Sharpie and make two dots where the nipples were because now you've crossed the line. And as I always scream, this is to appease our alien overlords who would destroy us, or did we make these rules? Are we the insane people that impose these rules upon ourselves? Like, because if there's alien overlords and they're going to annihilate us,
I'm all on board.
If some asshole down the hall just went, well, drawing of boobies is fine, but boobies with a dot in it where a nipple would be, that is now crossed the line. Sorry, we may not do that.
Yeah.
Because the nation would be divided. Nobody has any problem seeing a cock drawn on a blue card, but if you draw some weird hair where the balls are, okay, we got a situation. Okay, we are insane. I have no idea why we do this, but we keep doing it.
Adam, your clue is ball hair.
So
they don't want me to win.
There's a room where you like play a dry game and you get into that discussion. And I was sitting there and everyone was sitting there. At a certain point, Baldwin came in and had this very funny conversation that I don't think he knew was happening, but I did, and maybe everyone else in the room. All the that Cheryl Hines and the...
Who were their matchers?
We had like Rick Fox and Sugar Ray Leonard and guys like that. The sort of guys you'd expect, but also Allie Wentworth and stuff. I'm married to George Stephanopoulos.
Diverse
group in there.
No Shrifty.
Didn't make the cut.
And he didn't share one of the other episodes.
So Baldwin's in there, and Baldwin's like holding court, and he's like, yeah, well, I'm doing the new show, and I was talking about the show, and he's telling me Shrifty's down the hall, and blah, blah, blah. It's exciting for me to see a guy I worked with for 10 years, 21 years. So he goes, I called De Niro to ask him if he'd come on the new show, the late 10 o'clock show, the long-form interview show. And then he starts going into De Niro. So I say to De Niro this, and De Niro, and he starts literally moving his face like De Niro, and he's doing full De Niro while he's doing the thing. Now, of course, I'm finding it sad and ironic that he's telling a group of six celebrities how hard he's working to try to get better celebrities on his better show. And I'm also realizing that none of us will ever be asked to do his long form primetime TV show because we're make the money off of celebrity shows, not the delight the network in the good get.
Yeah, your daily grind guys.
Department. And so it's funny that he's sort of explaining to the sloppy second crew how hard he's working to get these. And he's like going, we got some great guests.
Let me tell you about the show. I'm really excited.
We got some really good celebrities. So at a certain point, he's doing his full De Niro. I mean,
people you've heard of.
Yeah, he's doing full.
Not like whoever you are.
He's doing full De Niro. And he's explaining that De Niro is doing what all these guys do, which is like, he says to him, like, Alec, why an hour? Like, what do we have to do for an hour? Like, nobody wants to do anything anymore. And he's going, like, why not 20 minutes? And then he's going, we'll talk about stuff. We'll find stuff out. And he goes, he want to know, what are we going to talk about for an hour? I said, your film career. And then I just yelled, why don't you spend the first 20 minutes trying to convince him to come on this crappy show? Then you'll have to only do a 40-minute interview on the film legacy.
How'd that go over?
Alec doesn't. Alec, because of where he's from, loves his nuts busted.
Quiet.
Loves the chop. Loves right. it. Loves that.
That's good.
Busts his chops all the time. Yeah. More fodder. No problemo. So did the show. Show was great. Treat you well. All that good stuff. Jumped on a plane with Sugar Ray Leonard.
Nice.
Took off. He wants to come on the show. Baldwin wants to come on the show, so we'll get him. I think he's going to be in here in September, October.
Do it.
Something like that.
Important question. Did you jerk pod back or just there?
I've realized there's something going on in the airlines. It's getting a little diabolical, which is all right, you guys tell me. So I had this whole elaborate thing in my head, which was, I'm flying out Delta One or whatever. Yeah. And I've done it with American, where you walk in and you go in through what I like to call the Forum Club. Mm. A lot of people, if they remember being out here in the 80s, 70s, 80s, or whatever, the Forum. I never went to the Forum, but at one time I went and I saw there was a Forum Club, which is you don't go really into the Forum. You sort of walk in at street level and you go into the Forum Club. You don't have to go up to the seats
or
go up. You
don't
snake around. You just go right through. Yeah. It's at street level. And once or twice I've done the American one where you just walk right in and you're in there. That's what the Kardashians do. You don't go in with the general pop. You don't get on the escalator. You don't stand in line. You go right through. They take your stuff and they just sort of wisp you through the security. Right. You have a valet who basically just handles you and gets you right onto the plane. It's awesome. So I had thought of that. And then I'd found out that's what we were doing with Delta, or so I thought. And then I'll tell you this, and you guys tell me. I got a couple of beefs. You tell me what you think and what could have been done.
Okay,
first I'll tell you about MedMen redefining the cannabis industry by empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. You'll find out what's best for you. Gina, what do you got?
I was there again recently because it's so fun to go there. Everyone's so knowledgeable. The place is so clean. It's so state-of-the-art. They have every product that you never even knew existed. And whether you're buying or you just want to get more knowledge, they welcome you there. It's a great experience.
Why not, man? Now, through 6:30, they got a huge sale going on through the end of June. Favorite brands like Bloom, Papa, and Barkley. And Triple J and more, 40% off, plus 10% off if you mention me. Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. Take care of business over there. Go to check it out. They have 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, Vegas. Visit MedMen.com. Find the nearest store. That's MedMen.com. Dawson.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. In addition to the 40% off select items, check out MedMen today.
All right.
So what happened?
Well, you guys riddle me this and tell me if we can figure this out. I got myself all whipped up about this pod and getting in the Forum Club Access Lounge and all that stuff. And they sent the chauffeur to come pick me up. And they picked me up in L.A. On Monday morning. I drove to LAX and I was flying Delta. And the guy just dropped me off at the first Delta that we saw up in Terminal whatever on the curb. That's all right. I got out and had my bags and was walking up through my stuff and up the elevator and everything. And went through security and quickly realized I was not doing the Forum Club, access backdoor speakeasy Kardashian move. But I had about an hour before the flight. I had my first class ticket going to New York. I can't tell you how many times I've told you I'm going to whatever the city is before New York. And they went, sorry, no access, whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll just go sit in the lounge. Yeah. Went to the end where gates like 23 and 24, whatever. We usually go out of those gates, went up to the top and sat in a nice new lounge. And I was entering. I presented them my first class ticket, and they said, no problemo, Mr. Carolla. And I said, and by the way, what gate does the plane leave from? And she said, gate 38. And I said, oh, I don't remember seeing that one. And she said, that's in Terminal 3.
Oh, no.
And I said, okay, how far is that hike? Well, you'd have to go through security again.
Oh, no.
And it's like, well, I don't want to go out through security again. And I'm just sitting down in the goddamn lounge. I have a half hour in this lounge to see how much bottom shelf vodka I can consume. But you're telling me, and she's like, you better get moving.
You need to hot foot it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I got to go back out through security to get to Terminal 3? Because evidently Delta just goes all the way down the line, and this one's Terminal 3.
Oh, you got did by the limo
driver. I said, well, how's this work? And she goes, well, you can catch the bus from gate 22. You get on the bus, and you can take it across to Terminal 3 to gate 38, and you don't have to go out through security again. But you better get moving.
Yeah,
and
the
I'm
bus
like,
leaves every 10 minutes.
You mean the private bus just for first class holders?
No, the big old stanky one with the accordion thing in the middle and all the lowbrow people. And I said to her, "I guess the driver dropped me off at the wrong Delta terminal." And she went, "No, it's not his fault." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "There's no way of knowing."
Oh, wow.
And I thought, there's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing?
How is that an acceptable
response? Why is there no... Man, I wish we had something called a computer.
Or a
sign. These stupid bark we have to ride on with these charred sticks and then send it via carrier pigeon. Yeah. Don't we have computers? Like, is there somebody who knows what gate this is leaving from or what Terminal 3 or something? Does this guy have a cell phone? Can this information not be conveyed?
Right. You can check it on your phone. You can check it on your computer. You can get the digital boarding pass. All the information can be updated in real time. Why can they not just tell you your flight leaves out of Terminal 4 or whatever the terminal is? That should be the easiest.
I have a professional driver.
That's brutal, man.
That driver's just going to drop me off where I'm supposed to be dropped off. I'm not going to tell him how to do his job.
That's his job.
Now, I imagine this happens almost all the time because you have to have people getting dropped off at the first Delta terminal.
There's Delta.
Because the driver pulls up and sees Delta and goes, here we are. And then you get up and you go through and then you go into the Sky Lounge and then they go, you better hustle to get on a bus. Now, this has to happen all the time, because if this guy is just dropping people off and you have a first class ticket, most time first class tickets have drivers and the driver just drops you off at the first Delta sign and now you're there. So now I'm like, it don't work.
Was she there?
That was her.
Now I
double duty.
Now I'm like, then the woman behind the counter goes, you probably have 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
No, you are not. So now I do like an alcoholic move, which is I go to
drill a hole in the bottom of the bottle, lift it up,
shotgun it, take my ballpoint pen and stab it in the side of it.
Way to go.
No, I go 5 minutes and then I go, I got a 6 hour flight. Like I'm like, and a bus ride. So I'm like, all right. And I do this move, which is one thing I have learned from cruising the lounges many times. I walk up to the bar, I open the bar, and underneath that's where they keep the Starbucks cups.
Mm-hmm. Little self-serve.
And myself,
DIY.
I make myself a little to-go cup.
Right.
Not walking out of there with a glass,
but I will
walk out there with a paper cup that's just being eaten away by vodka, by the way, so I have to do it before I have to use my hands to cup it.
Nothing says first class. Take the vodka to go in a paper cup.
Her thing, the woman behind the counter, and I'd love to figure this out, Max Pata and or Matt Fondelier. Her thing was two things. You're in the wrong terminal, and the driver did nothing wrong. There's no way of knowing. It don't work. I feel like there must be a way of knowing, especially when these two terminals are not connected.
That's
you must go back through security and go walk on the sidewalk a quarter mile, and then they could do it. I feel like there is a way to convey this to the person who's driving this vehicle.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, you're right.
That was
no argument.
I was going to say, that'd be infuriating.
So off to a smooth start.
It just had that, like, I always get screwed on the lounge because it's always like cutting it close. Yeah. And it's always a lot of like, I pull into the lounge. And when I pull in the lounge, they go, oh, they're boarding. And I go, I'm going to just sit here for
just
like
enough for
13 Mississippi, have one drink and 9 cubes of cheese, and then I'm leaving. But this, I was actually pulling up to this going, you got a nice 45, yeah. 50 minutes of leisure time here.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? Well, what could go wrong? Now, the great part is there is a lounge at the other gate as well. You just can't use it because by the time I got there, you're getting onto this
Doors plane. Are closing.
Right.
Did you turn right or left to go to first class?
I turned right.
Oh.
I got the pod.
Oh, okay.
Which was nice, but they're getting diabolical with the pods. They're getting smaller and smaller and angling harder and harder. And it's like the pod, they're working out the pod where the pod's great, but the square footage of the pod ain't what it was. It's not the Gary Jack pod of yore. I know it's been said many times.
A classic Gary Jack pod.
Now,
this has a plaque on the back.
I then had this.
A teardrop.
Yep.
I then had this happen. Flying in, looking at the menu, lunchtime, had the choice between the salmon salad and the BLT.
Oh.
BLT is going to be a safer option. Salmon salad has probably a higher ceiling, but I don't know, man. Salmon on the airplane.
I'm on my Vinny diet. And as much as I don't want the BLT, I opt for the sandwich salad.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Sorry, the salad. Salmon.
Salmon salad. Okay.
This is a problem. Here's the problem. The problem is salmon and salad and sandwich and soup are all pretty close to the guy who doesn't speak great English, who's from like Nigeria, who's the stewardess guy, the bell cap up there,
Flight attendant.
Right. So I'm sitting in there. Everyone who works for somebody, please hear these words clearly. I'm sitting back there and I said, he said, what would you like for lunch? I said, I'll have the salad. And he went, oh, okay, these sandwich, you know, and I realized, okay, they shouldn't start with the beginning of each other because on the airplane, there's like that.
You can't hear anything.
And that guy's standing there and he was born somewhere else and he's not really paying attention.
And he uses down a paper couple of vodka.
He assumes everybody wants a BLT.
Right. And I'm like, so he heard, he said, all right. Yeah. I said, sandwich. And I said, no, salad. Mm-hmm. Salad. And he's like, oh, okay. And he started to walk away. And then at that moment, I knew this is a coin toss.
You're gonna
this
be
is a coin toss. And I was reading both of them. And both of them had blah, blah, blah. And it finished with a thing of like butternut squash soup, which wasn't incredible. But I thought, I'll take some soup. And I ordered the salad. And 15 minutes later, he handed me the sandwich. And then I did what I always do, which is he dropped it off. And I went, excuse me, I ordered the salad. And then they do what they always do, like you said sandwich, which it drives me nuts, which is, yes, this is how I go through life. Because I order a cheeseburger, and then you give me a burger with no cheese on it, and then I tell you you're wrong because I like to ruin my own life. Like if I say to you, I want a burger, no cheese. And you give me a burger with cheese on it, and I go, excuse me, I just wanted a burger without cheese. Don't tell me you ordered the cheese on the burger. I know what I want.
What
I don't
chances?
Like it that
I'm confused
that
about
way. I got into it. We had a little miscue at the top, and you stayed with it.
Yep.
But this guy was doing the – and how about this? How about I'm 1,000% wrong? I'm just sitting in first class, and you just simply walk back, grab one tray, and hand it to me, and just
no big deal.
Literally, pardon the pun, you just eat it.
Yeah.
You just go, fine. So then I said to him, this is the part that gets me. The guy says, I say salad. He says sandwich. I then correct him again and say, no, I don't know what you said, but I think you said sandwich. I want the salad. Then he comes out and gives me the sandwich. Then when I then find him again and go, I did want the salad, not the sandwich, he's mildly perturbed.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He's put off.
He fucked up twice, but he's like mildly put off that I'm, Why are you hassling me? Sure. Is his thing. Why are you wrong and hassling me? And my feeling is, I don't want to do this. I just wanted, as a matter of fact, I want the PLT. But Vinny says no.
Oh, he heard your inner child.
Right. He heard my inner child.
He heard the voice crying out.
So he then says, I'll swap it out. So he swaps it out and he gives it to me. And then I say, I think it comes with the soup, which is not on the tray. And he goes, the sandwich comes with the soup, not the salad. Now, meanwhile, there's 26 soups in the back that are just sitting in microwavable cups that he could just... I'm in first class. If I just go, I think it comes with the soup. I'd like a soup. Just go get the soup and drop it off. But he says, no, the sandwich comes with the soup, but not the salad. Now, part of my thing that made it okay to get the stupid cold salad, and why refrigerate? Why have the icy utensils? Mm-hmm. Why have the frozen utensils? I literally have to lay them out and spread them out and like wave air on and blow on them. It's uncomfortable to hold a cold fork and eat cold salmon and whatever. But I remember I'm going to get some hot soup. I was trying to warm up the spoon by letting it sit in the hot soup. The cold utensil thing, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes it. It hurts. Cold metal's painful on your hand. Okay. Anyway, I said to him, I think it comes with the soup. He says, no, it does not. I know because I'm smart and I was reading the goddamn menu 10 seconds ago where they both went, here's the sand, blah, blah, acorn or butternut soup at the bottom. And the salad said the exact same soup. I remember thinking, oh, they both come with the same soup at the bottom. So then I said to him, I'm pretty sure it does. And he said, I don't think it does.
My God.
And I said, well, here, let me provide you with this documentation that your company has provided me to read on this airplane. It'd also be nice if the people that serve the stuff could familiarize themselves with what's the on here. It's always a little, huh? What? I was on another flight. Okay, take 10 seconds before we take off. And so I just sort of handed it to him and went, and he kind of did a deep dive into it. He was like, let's see. And then at a certain point did the, all right, let the baby have his bottle.
Like okay,
he just handed it back to me and walked back. And it's like, hey, douche, you were wrong. I'm sorry I've ruffled your royal feathers. I don't know why you couldn't have just got, I'm sitting in first class. Just go get the goddamn soup. But also, it does say in your menu that I'm entitled to this soup. I'm sorry it's been a shaming process for you. Hey, everyone listening, would you like to avoid the shaming process? Stop being fucking wrong and then sticking to your guns.
Let the baby have his bottle.
It'll be less of a shaming process if you're wrong less of the time and then cling to your wrongness.
Yeah.
You can do the my bad or I'll grab it or I'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail like or whatever. Or we can sit and have a standoff. Yeah. Guy who makes $47,000 a year is essentially a nurse waitress on an airplane, multimillionaire who has his own business. Maybe my batting average is a little bit higher when it comes to discussing things. Let's not work that into it. Just read it. And then when you're wrong, act like you're wrong. Not like you're pissed that I made you wrong. It's on the goddamn menu.
Just want the soup.
Just wanted the soup. That's all.
And the ice cold spoon.
Oh, these things were like frosty, like clinging together.
Put it in the soup and it ices over like a lake.
Can somebody convey this to the airlines that nobody, I don't care if you reach into your drawer at home or if you're on it, if you're 30,000 feet in the air, the freezing cold fork hurts.
Yeah.
It's unpleasant.
Messes up the food.
So I'm going to save you guys some money. Knock it the F off. Anyway, that also just made me think that soup and salad and sandwich, it just shouldn't start with the same.
And salmon salad.
Yes. Let's get another name for salad and sandwiches.
Salami sandwich or salmon salad, sir?
Yes.
Hurry up and select. I can go on.
All right. Let me tell you about Dollar Shave Club. I don't know. What is... Didn't you guys feel like there's just something wrong with everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
the more we listen to you, I get that sense.
I just spent an hour with Sprint and AppleCare at the same time trying to figure out my voicemail. And I asked her point blank, does this phone come with voicemail? Ma'am, of course it does. You got to reboot. You got to. Oh, yeah. No, we need to set up a voicemail for you. Of course. Of course, this was an hour.
We're creating bad people who think everything is them. And there's a thing called a job. And when you go there, you're just kind of on the clock. And the person in first class is right, unless they're way out of line.
Yeah.
And when they say something like, I read the menu and it said there's soup coming with the salad. That should be your clue.
To dig your heels in? Oh, I know, the opposite.
Fold your arms.
To go, I didn't notice that, but let me get that soup for you right away. Considering there's a whole bunch of soup 12 feet away.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in first class, not to have a fucking Mexican standoff.
I can see the soup. It's right there.
Ugh. All right. Dollar Shave Club. Now I'm in a better mood. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even the butt wipes. I'm a big fan of their Dr. Carver Shave Butter. I just used this stuff before I went and did Match Game. Celebrity. Sort of celebrity. Match Game.
Almost.
All products are made with top shelf ingredients. Won't break your budget. Plus, shipping is included. With your membership, never have to go out and find the cartridges for those razors ever again. That is worth the price of admission. It's all the best stuff. It's Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
Here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essential Starter Kit. It comes with Body Cleanser, One Wipe Charlie's, their amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and the best razor, the Six-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
All right. Gina Grand?
If I can just take a second. I just have a lot of people to thank, but I'll just do a blanket thank you. I lost my dog the other day. Mm. I had to put him down. It was the worst.
How old was he?
15. And it was the darkest. Mm. I kept putting this. I thought it would never happen, even though I've thought about it all the time. And especially in L.A., a lot of places don't do this, I guess, but you have someone come to the house. And it's
Yeah.
They were, oh my God, she was so wonderful. I think it was called Hearts and Halos or some Laps of Love. Or I don't know. They were amazing.
Black Widow's Final Solution.
Nope. Mm-hmm. And it was the worst, but also like I was proud of myself that I stepped up to do something I really didn't want to do. Anyway, the outpouring of love and just nice comments from people that listen to this show has been unbelievable, completely overwhelming. Brian, Christy reached out right away. It was really tough. I've never done anything like it. I'm sure it was. And I'm blown away. It has helped in ways I'll never be able to express. And one guy, I think you have the video, Chris. This guy who saw my post about it on Twitter, said, what was your dog's food of choice? We're going to donate it to different charities, you know, pet adoptions. And I told him, and this is what he posted online, I think from PetSmart.
Gina, we are so deeply sorry to hear about the passing of your loved one. So here at Nanuet PetSmart, we wanted to do something special for you. So we're donating a case of your dog's favorite Blue Buffalo Senior food, and it's going to go to all our local adoption partners, and it's going to support people adopting and taking care of senior animals just like you, Gina. So we wanted to thank you so much, and we're deeply saddened by your loss.
I couldn't believe how sweet that was. And just, you know, I was like, why do you tell people these things? I don't want to put this out there. It's very personal. I'm very sad. But when stuff like this comes out of it, worth it. I was blown away. So thank
people
you all.
Good.
Yeah.
Hey, we always talk about how bad we are, and that's all my sort of thing.
Good. People can be.
I always
very good.
Talk about like we've got a racist country, we're homophobic and xenophobic. But people,
well, that dude hates black people.
People, oh,
you didn't know that?
No, just black dogs. My dog is black.
People are good. Yeah. People are generally good. There's a couple of bad ones, and then people are basically good.
Agreed. It was devastating, but really, people reaching out with their own stories, it makes me realize everyone's gone through this. I'll probably go through it again because the love you get from them is unbelievable. And this is part of life. And I'm glad I got to step up to the plate and do and kind of cheat death in a way and not make him suffer and say, no, we're going to do this so you don't have to go through that. And it's done.
Very good. Take the dog with them?
Yeah, wrapped him up in a blanket and took him.
And they're going to cremate? And...
Yeah, I said I do not wish to have the ashes back. Let's
Smart.
Just, yeah, I don't know why I would do that to myself. And
I think it was...
One of my dear friends did a sweep of my house, put a bunch of stuff away, where a cabinet I can't reach, and just let me just kind of start over.
Got rid of all the evidence of the animal.
Well, thank you. And sorry for your loss,
thank
Dana
you.
Grant. And when do we think we might get a replacement pet?
Well, I don't know. I never had a dog before. I wasn't supposed to have this dog, but he was a senior and he needed help. And so I took him. So I don't know when I'll do it again. But I got so much out of this experience. I can't imagine depriving myself of that again. It's tough at the end.
We have some hobo power to play here, which is
play that with my hallway runner
transition. And it's brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Do we have an intro?
Yeah, you want to do that now? I got the Jet Suite X stuff too. We can do that afterwards.
Oh, that, yeah, boy. Okay, yeah, we'll do that after.
It's time for hobo power. Adam's unit of stink measurement.
Hear the mighty rush of the engine. Hear them lonesome hobos call.
You give us your stink story.
Uh-oh.
And we'll rank the funk.
Yeah.
All right. So now 25 is yakking. I guess 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white hot hibachi and the plume that's coming off of that. 100 is hypothetical. It's never been experienced, or maybe if it has, the person didn't live to speak about it. This guy took his mom to a Raiders game. I kind of like this
some
guy.
Rough ones up there.
I was gonna say,
John?
Some upsetting ones.
31, Fresno?
Hey, hey, hey.
What's going on?
Oh, just a good old family trip to the Raiders game in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
You want me to just get into it then?
Yeah.
Well,
keep treading water. Waste some more time.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to the Raiders game, and, you know, all of a sudden, me and my cousin and my stepsister was there, stepfather, mother, long story short, me and my cousin, we started looking at each other, and we smelled something, and finally, we got the goal to, like, ask, you know, what the smell was. I think my stepdad asked, and long story short, though, my mom said that she had, you know, taken a shit and not wiped her ass at Kmart in Oakland, so we ended up having to, like, stop at this gas station, and it was just the worst. Like, the bathroom had like shit on the walls everywhere, and it actually made me throw up in the bathroom. What?
Who threw up in the bathroom?
I did, because I had to get the key from my mom, and I took her in there. It was just the worst. It was like going to Rosarito and having the smell in your nose like a week after you get back.
What was,
it was
the reason
just deep in there?
What was the reason she gave for? Oh, by the way, I just didn't wipe myself.
Well, when we stopped at Kmart,
that
they didn't have toilet paper in the bathroom, and to her it was funny. You know, I mean, she started laughing and like, you know, pretty much shit herself in the car, and just from out of laughter, you know. But at this point, you know, we just keep on trucking. After,
hold on a second,
you're such a liar.
That's bizarre. Although people do have lives and tell stories that are just. The people who live lives that don't make sense.
Who screens these calls?
At all. But you know, there's people who punch cops and punch cops' horses and stuff. Like,
there's Raiders games.
There's just people who do things. And it's hard to figure out. I always sort of have them as more animal than human. So, John.
Yeah, so we got to the Raiders game, and then we just had to drive back, and the smell inside the car for 3.5 hours was just, oh my gosh.
Was she able to clean herself up at the gas station?
Yeah, but it was just like...
All right.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screen.
I don't know. I'm going to give it a 7. I can't figure this one out.
This doesn't rate. This is an ignominious begin to this game.
Well, yes, you're right.
Some of his details are not... They're inconclusive.
All right. Let's say...
Let's pretend it never happened.
All right.
Okay, so we have our first call.
Interception on the opening drive. You know what? Shake it off.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I'm
ooh.
Terrified of line 4.
I'm
terrified of line 4 as well.
Oh, must we?
Hey, Virginia.
Hey.
Hey, we're playing the highest score is going to get some products courtesy of Dollar Shave Club. Oh. So, let's be articulate here. What do we got?
Okay. So, I used to work in the critical care unit at a hospital in Charleston, and we had this 400-pound female come in, and she was unconscious. And, of course, the first thing we do with any patient is just clean them up. Well, she stunk so bad that we had to wear our surgical masks, and we even put, like, orange peels in our masks to try to mask it.
Definitely not a Jew.
Come to find out, the reason why she was smelling so bad was because her vagina was deteriorating.
There's a common,
phrase. So if you could, like, imagine, I don't know, like, fermenting the smell of a nasty gas station bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
If that and, like, a rotting fish had a love child, like, that smell.
There's no love there.
What, and it was,
what medically does that mean? Or what is that?
Well, she was just too big to clean herself properly, so it smelled yeasty. She just couldn't reach down there, and it was so bad.
The orange peels in the mask is a great detail.
Her vagina turned on her.
There's a couple of things. First off, I saw the original First Blood. The way they just cleaned them up. They just put them in the cell and hit them with the hose. Number one. Number two, I work around a lot of car stuff. They have, like, parts dip. Like, they literally just they just dip you.
I've
seen
the end of Terminator 2. I know.
They put you in a vat, and they, like, lock the door, and they fire it up, and you just get hit from all angles.
I cannot self-terminate.
That's pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, give her the parts dip.
Yeah,
what else
is to be done?
I can't imagine that they're going at everything manually with gloves and bottle cleaners.
That's a real 1-2-3 not it situation.
Yeah. Virginia?
Yeah.
This is good.
Did you have to do the cleaning? Were you the one tasked with the?
I was a CNA, so I basically do, like, the bitch work of the nurses. Oh, so yeah, no. I had to get up all in that goodness.
Yeah. How old was the woman?
She was about 43.
Good.
Did she wake up?
She did not. Well, I mean, a couple of days later, yeah. But at the moment, she was still...
Nationality. It factors in.
White.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
It's a lot of American cheese.
All right. This is strong.
This is one of ours.
You know why this is strong? Because it's intimate as well.
Yeah. Virginia, was there any, we have to ask for the game, any vomiting by you or your coworkers?
Oh, absolutely. I threw up in my mask.
Oh, no!
Oh,
so
everybody else, good. Hang up.
Don't leave that detail out.
Yeah. Oh. All right, your leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, boy.
And now, you gotta yak to get to 25, right? Well, is that what we figured out?
Pretty good.
30. 30 is you must vomit.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it always that way?
Yeah, 13 is a robust fart, and 30 is the smeller must vomit.
Were those my rules, or someone else cooked
those? Yeah, this is from the Love Line days. I don't know if it's evolved, like, you know, due to inflation or anything, but...
Sure.
Got to adjust.
Yeah.
Kids in their smells these days.
All right. Well, then, if you'll get a baseline of 30 for yakking, I got to give you a 34.
At least.
This to me is worse than the cat on the hibachi.
And not like I turned and found the nearest bucket. I vomited in my own mask.
Yeah.
Due to everything she just said, which I don't even want to say again.
Don't hold back on this score.
Yeah, I would really give her a little more.
Excellent.
All right. I'm feeling good. 41,
there
Virginia.
There it is.
And I'm going to declare you the winner because our guest is here and I can't take anyone. So hang on the line. We're going to give you a whole bunch of good stuff from Dollar Shave Club. And
it's time for Hobo.
Oh, an outro.
Hobo Power. Smell you later.
Yeah.
And Brian flew. I'm curious about this. Jet Suite.
Now, Dawson's flown this a number of times, right? Because they fly from Burbank. They have a limited number of airports. I think it's about six.
They fly from Burbank to my hometown in Concord.
Yeah,
they
Concord,
also fly
California.
To Vegas. And they just started flying from Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We can all agree the future, like Uber or Lyft, we just want the computer and the free market to sort of open everything up, and we all want to then benefit from that.
Yep.
So tell us about that quickly.
They promote themselves as a semi-private jet. So what it is it's a old like regional jet, right? The two in the one with the, you know, two seats on one side and the one on the other.
Oy.
Small. Well, they've refurbished it. So they've taken all the overhead compartments, so it's a nice big feel. They've expanded the leg room. So I think there's only like 10 or 12 rows of three people each. Mm-hmm. And the leg room is quite spacious. You're in there with one, maybe two flight attendants, and they're serving free drinks. So it's not the private jet experience that, you know, the Jay Leno experience, but
pretty damn close.
You're doing pretty good.
That's,
you know,
nice.
Because, yeah, it's pretty, and you're walking right on the tarmac. You know, there's no jetways. You're going right. Really what you're paying for. It's not the in-flight experience, which is nice. It's not the free drinks, which is nice. You're paying to avoid the airport. You drive up to the private terminal. You skip TSA. You skip the airport. You skip everything.
No security check.
There is a very brief thing where they, you know, they check your ID. You give them your bag. They tag it. They take it away for you. They load it.
But what about when you want to take a bus to another terminal?
Yeah. Do they ruin that for you too?
No. Luckily, it's all out of the exact same little terminal. And you walk right into the tarmac and you walk. You see the photos
wow.
right here. You walk right onto the jet. You know, old school. When I say old school, like you travel in the 50s and 60s. And as Christy and I are walking through, you know, the terminal, which is just a little room they have with snacks and coffee and everything, which is very nice. We're walking through with our sunblock and a water. And we walk onto the plane. We realize we're paying for the privilege of flying in the 1950s.
Yeah,
like
right.
Just the hassle-free flying. And that,
right.
That, to me, is worth it. The flight started like $129 each way, which is not extravagant.
No, it's fine.
It's a little more expensive. But
$129 each way to Vegas.
Yeah, and if you're thinking to yourself, normally you'd pay, I don't know, $59, $79, whatever it is. If you think to yourself, as you're standing in that TSA line waiting an hour before your flight, like, would I pay an extra $70 to skip all this? Yes! The answer is yes. I would pay $70 each way every time to skip all this.
Well, here's the bigger question. How much before the flight would you need to get there? Like, if they were going to cut you off, where would that cutoff be? On a noon flight.
I don't know what their policy is, but they board at the flights. Our flight was at 12:15. We boarded at 12:05.
Nice.
Boarding took literally, I timed it, 9 minutes. Boarding took 9 minutes. I imagine you can get there at 12:04 or at 12:05 and walk right
on
the plane.
That's another huge deal.
They felt like they were, so the same plane goes back and forth, you know, between destinations all day long. So it feels like, you know, they're on a schedule.
Right.
But if you're there and you're walking on the plane,
right.
Who cares when you get
there?
They
ask you to be 20 minutes early, but they're not going to turn you away.
Right. If you're there before they shut the door, then you're there. Or they might even open the door.
There's no baggage situation where it's like, oh, if I miss the cutoff, my bag's going to end up in Albuquerque.
Right.
Yeah, your bag's going to run on the plane with you.
Oh, that's
good.
Great. And is that 20 people, 30 people?
It seemed like if it was 10 rows of three each, then 30 people. I felt like more, but 30
was
sounding
plane was full.
Plane was full, both
Let's,
ways.
Please, free market, open up everything for us all the time so that we can just do what we want to do.
Free Wi-Fi, free drinks. But again, it's not about the in-flight experience, which is very nice. It's about skipping all the rigmarole.
Where do you land in Vegas?
You land at McCarran at a separate little airstrip, you know, off to the side where the private jets go. But you're in and out of McCarran Airport.
Yeah, it's closer to the strip, too.
In Concord, you land at Buchanan Fields at a municipal airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us your question at the Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Castrol Challenge for your question for Castrol Challenge. We're brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown, the full synthetic. You got a question,
yeah,
Gina?
I have a personal question. I went to fuel up the other day, and I was hit in the face with a sticker right at eye level of something I have never done. So I'd love to know how important this is. Big sticker that says, before fueling, discharge any static electricity buildup by touching your bare hand to a metal surface away from the nozzle. Do not re-enter your vehicle with gasoline pumping. Re-entry could cause static electricity buildup. I started freaking out and thought, how big of a deal is this? I've never done either of these things.
Yeah. We have a whole bunch of stuff.
We used to drive pickup trucks, so there used to be a warning on the truck, remember? The static electricity would build up in the bed of the truck.
Oh.
It has. I don't think it's a thing anymore. Probably was a thing at the time. I remember, like, in the things, like, I was watching a movie when I was landing last night, and you know how in the day when you're on a flight would just get interrupted and they go like, now we have to shut down all whatever. This is just land, kept watching the movie and then taxied and just kept watching the movie. And I thought, I guess we could have all been doing this 20 years ago, but there was some danger to it. But now nobody cares, all the things we always talk about. Hey, I'm going to draw hair on the balls. Hey, that can't be done. And then all of a sudden, who cares?
Hairball.
And I would not worry about it.
So you've never
Grad.
Seen any spontaneous combustion because of this?
I will tell you people this.
Happened in Zoolander.
Right.
If you leave like oily rags and things like out on a hot day or throw them in a trash can and it's like in the sun, mm-hmm. you will start seeing smoke and stuff start coming out of that. That I have seen. This I wouldn't worry about, but might as well play it safe anyway.
Touch the side of the car.
Thank you, Castrol Challenge, and thank you, Gina Grad. Mm-hmm. All right, Richard Stanley is out there. He's a former bank robber. He's
keep that close to the vest, man.
He's all about prison reform and many other things, and I want to talk to him about it. He's got a book out. It's available now. It's on Amazon, so bookmark us and click through. Also, first show sold out, Portland. Second show almost sold out, Aladdin Theater, this Saturday.
The big shows. Are you nervous?
The big show. I am a little bit.
Freaking out. Oh,
I actually am.
You're knocking out of the park. Ah,
thank you. It's my one-man show, and we'll do the two tapings. And first show starts at 7, second show at 10. And like I said, first show sold, second show a couple left. So come on out.
Be a part of history.
Yeah.
Be a part of history. It's long overdue. Live shows everywhere. Thousand Oaks, Pasadena, Seattle. Those are live podcasts. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all that. Why don't you pre-order Uppity? It's good, and it just helps. You can get that at Chassis. Two S's and a Y at the end there. Take a quick break, do good sports, and be right back with Richard right after this.
Carolla Digital delivers the best podcasts ever made with some of the best people around.
Hey, guys, it's Joe Coy, and I got my podcast here at Carolla Digital called The Coy Pond. The Coy Pond. I get all my friends to come on, and then they tell me a story, and then I make fun of them, and it's a blast. So tune in. Just go to AdamCarolla.com and download every episode.
The Coy Pond with Joe Coy. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and at AdamCarolla.com.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies.
Raking the fruits of the year.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, let's talk a little game of life for a change of pace. Mm-hmm. We don't need to get bogged down with balls and grown-ups who play with them. Let's instead talk about this. Let's talk about the most important issue, your offspring. And I want you to win, play, show this for me. And by the way, the last leg of the Triple Crown coming up this weekend, we'll cover that, and we'll see if Adam Carolla can provide for us his legendary good for the Stang, good for the Wang, or good for the Wang, good for the Stang prediction of who will win the Triple Crown and some other stuff. But before all that, let's win, play, show this. What do you want for your offspring? What do you want for you? You know, go deep here, Ace. I'm going to give you some options.
All right.
Go ahead.
Just say it very simply. I just want them to be happy for me. And, I mean, all that I've accomplished, the books, the podcast, the car racing, if they could just be happy for me, then I would be happy. It's simple, and I know it sounds trite. Like, no one ever talks about income.
A little saccharine for some, but you know what, Adam? I know it comes from the heart, and so... Amen. Mm-hmm. What do you want for your kid? What do you want for you? If you could imbue yourself with these traits, put them win, play, show in an order of importance. Smart, funny, nice, attractive, physically attractive.
Mm. Okay, win, play, show. Smart, funny, is it smart / funny?
No, wait. Smart, funny, nice, because we have talked about the fact
but
that
then
one of the
nice
worst
and attractive. We have four.
Four things, right. One you're just going to lose.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Like, I'm willing to waive that one.
All right.
I don't care about that one.
I don't know why I thought win, play, show was just three. But all
it
right.
Is, well,
we're
it is, but
one.
I'm giving
we're
you an extra one that you just have to eliminate.
All right. Okay.
And by the way, you can't be funny if you're not smart in all likelihood. There are very few exceptions that prove that rule. However, the one of the worst syndromes to suffer from in life is to be smart but not funny. That's one of the worst. Smart people with no sense of humor are some of the worst human beings I've ever crossed paths with. But anyway,
all right, nice, smart, and funny or funny, and then good looking. Okay, if you're funny and a male, you can essentially cover good looking, depending on
allegedly.
Right. Well, so I you know, I think back on it, and when I was pretty poor, I had good looking girlfriends and whatever back in the day, and maybe was part of it was being funny, but I never really counted, you know, never in the Playboy Playmate, like, what's number one? Oh, funny and kind eyes. And it's like, who are you currently dating? Lorenzo Lamas? You mean the guy on the hog wearing a suede vest and no shirt underneath? Yeah.
I have a hypothesis about that. That it's not that women are lying. It's that people don't have a good sense of humor, generally speaking. That's an affliction that everybody thinks they have a good sense of humor. Even if they're not a good wiseacre themselves, everybody thinks they get the joke. And it's funny how few people sometimes get jokes. And so I think that they're not lying in saying that. They're just, you know, people don't have the same highbrow sense of humor as you, maybe.
I have this thing. I don't know. I'm gonna throw a little curve at you.
Okay.
I would much rather be fair than nice. I feel like the ultimate nice is fair. I feel like it's safe to say that I'm not nice, which is not to say I'm mean. I'm not particularly nice. I'm not kicking myself around, but I'm sure if you did a survey, nice wouldn't jump to the top of everyone's list. But I pride myself on being fair. And fair, I know a lot of nice people who you lend them money and they never pay you back. They're nice, but they're not fair. And ultimately, nice people can do bad things to you in the name of, and sometimes hiding behind the veneer of nice. Like, hey, I'm a nice guy, so I don't have to fill in the blank.
I think that's an interesting point. And I also think, again, with very few exceptions, I think most people think they're nice.
I don't think I'm nice. I think I'm fair.
But, maybe not evil then. Maybe it's not that they think they're nice. I bet you Hitler did not think he was evil.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He didn't think he was doing evil things. He thought he was doing a righteous thing.
Yeah, I get it. And my feeling is I have this big thing about sort of innocence, which is, if I never met you, I'm going to be nice to you. If you're a kid, I'm going to be nice to you. If you're an adult and you're rubbing me the wrong way, I'm not going to burn calories to get you to like me, because I'd like you not to like me.
I haven't been around. When I met you, you froze me and Kevin Hench out for 3 months. You didn't speak to either one of us.
Right, because I'm not nice.
Okay, I thought you said that you want to be nice.
But I'm fair.
You were nothing to either one of us.
I'm fair.
You were being fair.
I was evaluating you.
Right, I always go back to that.
I put you in quarantine. And now we're thick as thieves, me, you, and Hench. So aren't you glad I evaluated you?
In that sense, yes.
Here's what I'm saying. Nice is great, but fair is like, hey, could you pick me up at the airport? Because I picked you up at the airport last time. You could pick someone else, the nice guy up the airport 10 times in a row, and the 11th, he wouldn't do it to you. Fair.
You have a weird cynicism against people that are labeled nice. The nice guy keeps letting you down in all your scenarios here.
Well, I have said it has come.
These
up.
Nice guys who don't pay you back or give you a boost to the airport when you've done it.
Here's the other thing. It's been spoken of inside the Corolla home before. Sometimes in the heat of battle, where my wife explains to me, everyone thinks I'm nice, and everyone thinks you're an asshole. Many times. That's her
beloved.
That's her go-to
move. Lady love.
But I explain, I have to go in there and figure out how to pay people, when to pay people, when they get time off, when they, of course, when you're in that position, you're, nice isn't going to factor in that much. You have to, you can be nice. If you're the coach of the football team, it's hard to be nice. If you work at the stadium and you sell peanuts, you can be as nice as you want. There's never any issue where you have to tell somebody sorry.
So if you're in charge, right? Well, that's been a big issue that since the Super Bowl ended, that Lane Johnson of the Eagles, and now ever since, people have been talking about the other Patriots, former Patriots, or you know, it's not fun in Foxborough. It's not fun up there. We have no fun there. Who wants to be on that?
I think if I were, and then I'm going to give you your order, and then I'll stop being so defensive about it. But if I would rather have a fair boss than a nice boss. That's what I would rather. And I'd rather.
I don't want that because if he's being fair, then I would never get hired because I have no business doing any of those things.
I would rather have a fair neighbor than a nice neighbor.
But,
you know, because the fair neighbor, because I've dealt with super nice people that are fucking assholes in their behavior. Like, I've dealt with plenty of nice, my family are all nice. Good luck getting shit out of any of them ever. So they're the nicest people in the world. They'll never do anything for you. I would rather have a neighbor who I'd say, look, I'm going to build a dog-eared redwood fence between the two of us because, you know, it'd be nice. I'll put one going one way. Each one will face you. One will face me. I'll get the contractor and do it. I'll pay him. And how about we split the cost? And that guy goes, fine, I'll split it with you. And then he pays you. I don't have those neighbors. I have had nice neighbors that'll never fucking get a nickel out of them. And many people in my life that are that way. So give me fair over nice. That being said, I think I'll take smart.
Number one. I will say, I feel like smart, legitimately, people say this a lot, and I'm not attributing smart to my qualities, but it does seem like there is something to the point of the Forrest Gump movie is maybe it's just better to just be, you know, unawares and go through life. Maybe the sun shines on you a little bit more and you aren't bogged down by cynicism if you aren't the brightest person in the world. I've always thought that was a weird message from that movie, but maybe there's something to it.
I'll take smart. I'll take funny second. I feel like smart. You can take. I felt this way about the aforementioned Kevin Hench. I decided he was very smart, and thus I decided I wanted to write a movie with him, or he could do whatever he wanted. He'd make a great attorney. He's just smart. You know, smart is the leather man, the Swiss Army knife of faculties. It's like, I'll just take my smart and go any direction I want with it. And what was nice and what was the fourth that I could throw out?
Smart, funny, nice, attractive.
I'll go attractive.
Is what?
I'll put number three. I'll go smart. Oh, no. I'll go
smart.
Smart, funny, attractive.
Attractive, and then nice, who cares?
That's right.
So says Adam Carolla. There you have it. One more episode to go here in this sports week on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Dameshek, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports.
And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Good stuff, man.
You said it, pal. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I want to thank LifeLock for this half of the show. LifeLock.com, TrueCar, TrueCar.com, and Geico at Geico.com as well. Richard Stanley is our guest. He's a former bank robber. Now he's into prison reform and many other things. Good to see you, Richard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you, too.
I said to my guys when they were telling me about you, I said, why did he rob these banks? And they said, to get money. And I said, yes. I'm aware of why one robs banks.
Yeah.
Oftentimes there's a drug habit to support.
A stupid question.
Yeah. I get a lot of those answers in my life. sometimes there's drugs. Sometimes someone's daughter's been kidnapped, yeah. and they got to pay off the syndicate.
But there's almost always a need for money involved. Almost always.
Not just the thrill.
To get money.
Catch and release.
You know what percentage of my life is waiting through the first retarded answer so I can get to the second one? Like, when's this thing going to be ready to go up on the billboard? When we're done editing it. When are you going to be done editing it?
As soon as we're done.
Yes. So, Richard, but you started early, right?
Yeah, the first bank I robbed, I was 18.
Just for the money?
The first bank I robbed, it was for money, but it was because I wanted a grande combo meal, Taco Bell.
Yeah, and I told you. There's always a real reason.
Attainable goals. Modest, attainable goals.
It was really a stupid excuse to rob a bank, but we were just trying to scrounge up money, and I blurted out the first suggestion that I could think of.
To me, robbing a bank feels like one of the scariest crimes to be involved with because I feel like you could get shot. Or a cop could roll up, or in every movie I see, the off-duty cop that's on the ground with the gun and the holster and the sock,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you're in a public place. You're in a fishbowl.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's what the feds had told me when they were... Once I signed my deal, I agreed to let them profile me so that way, you know, whatever, just so I could hopefully get a better deal. Mm-hmm. I signed for 6, 7, or 8. It was up to the judge. So I told him, okay, you can profile me, but don't ask me anything about anybody involved. So
I mean, once you were caught...
Yes, yes.
Once they wanted to profile you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And they wanted to know, you know, little details. While they asked me, did you watch the movie Set It Off? And
oh,
I was
really?
Like, what? I was like, no. Like, I never even used the firearm. I don't even know why
they
asked me.
I thought that was a cheerleading movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, they told me I could get shot by a cop that I was stupid for doing it.
Wow.
And agreed.
Yeah. And also, you know, when they want a profile because they'd like to stop this. I tell people all the time, and like everyone hates profiling, and we shouldn't profile. That's all law enforcement does is attempt to profile. When somebody's abducted, they kind of know who did it.
Mm.
They know they live within 2 miles. They know they have like contact with the
right.
family. They know they have a job, but they're not married, but they're in their 50s. Like right. because you want to find the kid.
Right.
It's just a better way to go. So. You rob your first bank. Where's your... It's around San Diego?
Yeah, it was in the city of Bonita, across the street from Bonita Vista High School, on Othai Lakes Road.
And how much money did you get on your first heist?
I want to say it was around 8-ish grand.
Oh, that's a lot of...
Run Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get about 8 grand, and then what?
Well, for one, when I showed up, I forgot the bag, so I needed to just scrape something up from the car. I found a Carl's Jr. bag, took that in with me, and when I was up there, she asked me, she's like, once it was going down, she asked me, do you have a bag or do you need one?
Wow.
I was like, oh, I have one right here. Yeah, it was awesome customer service. And she was attractive.
He has a great Yelp review.
After that, I ran back to the car. He casually pulls out to not draw any more attention. As we're pulling out of the driveway, haven't even made it off of the property yet, he tells me, let me see the money. So I pull in the bag, reach out, and he's like, and it was just 50s, 100s, some fries hanging out. And I saw it too, and I was like, dude, when are we going to do this again? And he was like, shit, you tell me. And it was just...
So is it you going in alone and him being the wheel man, or is there multiple people going in?
I would go in alone. I'd have a getaway driver, and then I'd have a second car, the legit ride, which was registered. It was a clean car, not stolen, completely different appearance, because like you said, profiling. I know people do that, you know. So what I would do is shake the getaway car and its description, jump into a legit car. So if I'm robbing a bank in like a green Honda, I'm jumping into a red minivan with car seats, and I'm
right.
hiding in the back looking Sweet. For tracing devices and stuff.
Right. Like dye packs and well, things like that.
I would try and avoid those at the bank by telling them put the money on the counter, and then when you're picking it up, you can bend it and feel it.
The dye pack.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, sir, back to that first one. Did you have... You said you have a weapon. What, did you just say, give me your money?
Oh, the first one, I would use a note I wrote once we were planning it out. You know, it happened 0-60. I said, hey, let's just rob a bank. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. So I started just reaching for hat, glasses, found a piece of paper, cut it down to the size of a check so I could put it in my wallet, look like I'm cashing a check. I wrote smile at the top of it for whatever reason. I didn't remember doing that. And then I put the money on the counter, no ink packs, alarms, tracing devices. The first one, I believe I said, there's 2 more guys outside with guns here. This ain't no joke. So when I walked up, I slid the note on the counter. She separated with her index finger and middle finger to read it. And then she smiled, and I was nervous, so I forgot, and she was like the most attractive girl there. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, oh man, this chick's in the bank robbers, you know, what are the odds? You know, and it just, Yeah, it was stupid.
So, but nobody gave you any pushback. It was they saw the note and that was that.
Yeah, well, only a note the first time. After that, maybe I used it the second time. I can't remember. But after the first or second time, I would start just saying my lines. Put the money on the counter, knowing Pex alarms, chasing devices. I want both drawers. Two more guys outside with guns. Hurry up, this ain't no joke. Go to the next seller. Put the money on the counter, knowing Pex alarms, chasing devices. I want both drawers. Two more guys outside with guns. Hurry up, this ain't no joke. Third, fourth, if there was one there, hopefully. But usually I only got three. I think 3 to 4 was my top.
Let me tell you what my rap was and didn't pay as well. Cheese count on Max 3, please. Cheese 3, please. Max up. Ready to rap. Cheese count on quarter pounders, please. Oh. Cheese 5, please. Quarter pounders up. Ready to rap. I remember down. I had
you
the had rap.
Yeah, it's
too.
Not sexy, but you did it.
Yeah.
It didn't pay.
Right.
As what, well, like but I had my rap from working at McDonald's.
Just as dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I wish I would have done that. I really wish I would have done that.
So, was there a better time of day, better day of the week, like when you started to like make this a thing? Did you have
Fridays,
like,
I would try and go in either in the morning when the drawer's fully stocked because they're going to have at least one teller working, so that's one full. See, I'm not trying to like promote bank robberies.
No, but one who's
don't
not
do
considered
it. If
robbing
do
too
not
many
rob
banks.
Banks, it's bad society, frowns upon it. But... Yeah, I don't know. It was just a stupid decision, man.
No, well, obviously.
And they asked you if you had seen certain movies and stuff, but were there guidelines and things you got, tips from TV shows, things like that?
FBI Files. I used to like watching Discovery Learning Channel while I was growing up. The Learning Channel had a show called FBI Files, and these guys were braggy, extremely braggy. And they'd be like, yeah, we got it. If only he would have done this. And I was like, oh, okay, that's okay, nice. Yeah. I'm like 13 taking notes,
right?
You know, and then at 18 was when I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Wow.
So... How much of it is I want money? How much of it is I have like some adrenaline sort of?
Towards the end, I didn't even need to rob banks anymore. I want to say my last 3 or 4, I was stocked up on cash. I was doing fine.
And so it was more
so
adrenaline,
it was more adrenaline rush, yeah.
And sort of beating a system or outsmarting somebody.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought I was being like real slick, and I was like, okay, it's a nonviolent crime. It's going to pay big. No one's going to get hurt but me if worst case. And then I find out after I get arrested, like, no. You're a violent criminal, even though I never took a gun, never told anybody not to leave, I never threatened it. Well, the note would kind of make someone think like, hey, something could go down. So that's why I wasn't considering that at the time.
Right.
A person's state of mind, and I feel bad for that. But, yeah.
What was your biggest haul?
22 Gs.
Damn.
And how often would you do it?
Whenever I wanted to. Pretty much. I mean, I try to reserve it for Fridays, but...
Every Friday?
Special occasions.
Just when... If I started getting low, is what I'd call it, like, you know, 2-3 grand, I'd be like, oh, it's 10 rob bank. You know?
How many did you do in what period of time?
They say I robbed 13. About 6-ish months.
6 months.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
And then you go to... You get caught... You get caught in an interesting way. How do you get caught?
A friend told me, he's like, hey, I have this guy that I really trust. He's in need of assistance. Can you help him out by taking him with you to rob a bank? He'll drive getaway. So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I said, let's go get a car tonight. Well, for whatever reason, he was like, well, let's just steal one from around this area, which was our neighborhood. And I lazily agreed. We went. And, you know, while we're pilfering through somebody's car, I flipped down the passenger side visor, and there was this little sticker right there with two girls cheek to cheek. They used to have them at the mall, like from a little machine. And I was like, dude, and I hit him, and I was like, dude, look. I said, she looks real familiar. And he started looking. He's like, she does. And I was like, oh, whatever. You know, flipped it up, and then we hit the bank the next day. Everything was smooth. And then it turned out she had just gone to, I was fresh out of high school, not too long, you know, and she went to high school with me. So when they told her, yeah, your car's been used in a bank robbery, it's the serial bank robbery that's been going on. She's like, do you got a wanted poster, a picture, something? They showed her and she's like, oh, damn.
I know that guy.
And she went back, she went and retrieved her yearbook and was like, I think it might be this guy. You know, I was like, oh, great.
So she knew you or the other guy?
Me. I was the only one that they were looking for.
Right. Wow. So the idea, you say, was lazy. Like at some point...
I had a job and I quit it because crime was paying more.
But at some point, people get caught because they get lazy. Like they just...
They slip up.
You should have been getting a car from out of the neighborhood.
That's what every other time, that's exactly what would happen. You get it from another neighborhood because now it's on their hot list. It ain't over here. So wherever you're going to hit the bank, you just get it from a different area. They're not looking for it. Parking near... Well, I keep thinking I'm promoting bank robbery, you know,
right. But I get it. Yeah, you can go online, figure out how to make a napalm these days. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
So, far cry from the North Hollywood bank robbers.
Yeah, I know, but I'm lumped up into the same category. I'm still just as violent somehow, some way.
So, you get, how much time do you actually do?
I signed a deal for 6, 7, or 8. The judge gave me the max, 8 years, 2 strikes. I ended up having to do 7 years and close to 2 months.
And they cut you a deal because they wanted to really get the profile and figure out what you knew and what other people may be doing and use the information you had.
Well,
to try
no,
to
they
catch
knew.
Others.
I told them from the beginning, I said, don't ask me anything about anybody involved but me. You know,
but they wanted to know how you work.
They want to know why I did it. You know, that's where the set it off question came from. I can't remember all their. It was a bunch of stupid questions.
But just so
honestly,
they could get a more accurate of like,
yeah,
you know,
they
this
want
is
to
the
know,
face of a bank robber.
They want to know to prevent it, like steps they can probably take to prevent it. So I would tell them, this is why I'd steal this car. This is, you know, why I would choose this bank.
Right.
And yeah.
I don't know. They've not had enough bank robbers to talk to in the last 30 years in Los Angeles
like
area.
Common.
Like, no. But were they interested in you because you come from a different environment? I don't know.
No, I didn't see
what is
that
your way. What is your environment? Where do you come from?
My neighborhood's Otay. It's in San Diego, South San Diego. It can be rough, you know. I haven't been in the area too often just to visit people every now and again, so I couldn't tell you what the streets are like navigating them right now on the bus and walking.
Broken family?
My mom was divorced when we were younger, but no, my stepdad raised me since I was a real young age. The family was good. Mom killed it every time on Christmas, Thanksgiving. Like, it wasn't that. It was more just I wanted more. I saw what they were working for. I saw how stressed out they were and how it was just like nothing was happening. You know, you're working longer hours, but nothing's happening.
And so, did you feel like you were living a double life with your family, your friends?
Well, yeah, that's for sure, because at home, there's no, like, gang members.
Speaking of which, how did you explain your new income? You know what I mean? Like, so you quit your job, you had a bunch of cash, but, like, did anyone ever, your mom
what was your
or
cover story?
Anyone, you're like,
I was never into anything like that. I wasn't a violent guy. I wasn't anything. So I actually told my mom and dad without them even knowing. They saw that I got a new TV in my car. I had a PlayStation 2 and all kinds of stuff. And she was like, where are you getting all this money from? And I was like, man, I robbed like 3, 4 banks. And she was like, shut up. And then my dad came in. He's like, no tienes los huevos para robar un banco. He's like, you don't got the balls to rob a bank.
Mm.
And I was like,
Fighting words.
Wow. So
thought I was messing. I didn't get in any trouble like that. I didn't really have any kind of major rap, just petty stuff.
I'm curious, like, if I'm a profiler.
Well, they were living in L.A. I was living in San Diego, so that's part of the reason why I would visit, you know, mm-hmm. So that's probably why it's harder for them to pick up.
Makes sense.
Interesting. All right. Hold on a second. Yeah. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Speaking of the FBI, new FBI report citing internet crime complaints with losses of over $1.4 billion.
Richard's like, tell me more.
It's a good heist. Yeah. You didn't have to leave the sofa if you steal people's identity. Top two crimes reported were non-payment and non-delivery and then personal data breaches. Nearly 2,000 complaints were about ransomware. So, there's so many threats out there in the digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft. So, they don't take your info and sell it onto the dark web. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. They're LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for your first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com, enter promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam.
What prison did you go to, Richard?
It was Donovan in San Diego also. Only a few miles from my neighborhood.
And what'd you figure out in prison?
For me at the time, I was thinking, it doesn't need to stop here. You know, what are they going to do? You know? And then I remember saying that, and someone was like, oh, they'll put you in the hole. And I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. You know, so I just kind of circumnavigated every little obstacle I could. And I lasted a while. I got over on those guys pretty bad. I got kitchen jobs. I figured out how to get into the industrial refrigerators. I've made my own piece of ceiling so I could stash stuff up there.
Really? You have the entrepreneurial spirit.
Enterprising.
Yeah.
Well, you know, try. Do it again.
So what kind of stuff would you get? Or what kind of stuff would you stash?
I was just trying to eat and drink, you know, Pruno. So alcohol. So I would steal, like, food items. Every now and again, they'd get these, like, hot ticket items, like ravioli or something, mm-hmm. you know? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that, you know? So I'd find a way to get into their office, you know, and they thought it was not possible. I didn't show them it was possible, but they figured out it's possible after their inventory was short all the time. And then I'd take it and I'd put it up in the ceiling. And they actually, when someone finally told on me for that, they pulled down, like, it was between 200 to 300 pounds of, like, sugar, a damn near pallet full of ravioli, just a bunch of other little snacks. Like, I was just like a squirrel just hiding a bunch of food.
Could you trade that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
What could you get in prison if you wanted it? Could you get drugs?
Yeah, you could get drugs. I had drugs. I had cell phones. I had a PSP, a little PlayStation Portable, DVD player, porno to go with. You're not allowed to have none of that stuff, you know, but I found where there's a will, there's a way.
Who brings that stuff in, by and large?
Mostly cops.
It's mostly guards and cops?
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't, if they said, look, let's I'll give you a hypothetical, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
All the cops and all the guards and everyone associated with the prison, the guys who were outsourced to do the laundry or whatever,
mm-hmm.
everyone was completely straight and completely clean. And the only way contraband could come in would be through relatives visiting or something of that nature.
There's other ways.
Oh, there is? Well, let's just say, what are the other ways if the guards and nobody on the inside, nobody associated with the prison is bringing anything in? How would you get stuff in?
If I were to say that, that would kill a hustle for somebody that's in there right now.
Really?
I could get in trouble for that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But it seems like to me they could shut down the stuff that was coming in via the family members or friends.
That could definitely be shut down. But they take see, the funny thing is, there'll never be guards that ain't corrupt. Ever, ever.
Right. But is it?
But
Are you saying there's a third way? I am saying anyone who works for the prison.
I'll tell you after the show.
Anybody who works for the prison, don't tell me after the show, oh, the laundry service guys. Yeah,
no, it's much
worse. Anybody who works for the prison is shut down, and the only way stuff would come in is, do they have conjugal visits?
They do. There's rules to conjugal visits. You can't have life in prison, and you can't have domestic violence.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought about that one.
But yeah, there's a little, just more creative ways. You got to remember, I can't say that.
You know, but there's creative ways.
Yes.
That don't have to do with the family and don't have to do with anyone who works for the prison.
Huh. Interesting. The line races.
Man, something in the mail, something. I can't think of it. Because here's what I assume.
They're onto that one. They already know about that. That was a possibility before.
I assume that a lot of cops are wired like criminals, and they kind of went the other direction. I mean, look no further than the millions and millions of documentaries and shows about bad cops on the whatever. And also, it's an inherent thing. You have guys who are kind of rough and tumble in high school. They got to be a cop. Next, they're making $40,000 a year. Next thing you know, they kick in some drug guy's thing, and there's a pillowcase filled with money or cocaine. What do they do?
Moment of truth. Yeah.
These guys weren't the guys that were going off to Cal and Stanford, and they're not religious and whatever. Yes.
It's not so much that they went another route. It's that they found another group. You know, like I don't believe in all this. I mean, I believe that there's racism, but whenever something happens with somebody and they're like, oh, that's racism, I'm like, nah, dude, you can tell. Like, it's just, that's their group. I think I might have read in your book, In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, and you're talking about tribal mentality.
Sure.
And that's just what it is. You know, it's like they come down on people in prison for having a code of silence or gang members. Dude, what about yours? Why don't you go first and then we'll see, you know, and then we'll go from there.
I've always thought that if you said to me, could you be a cop or could you be a criminal? It would be almost a tie for me. I'd have as every bit as hard a time being a cop than I would be being a criminal. I feel like there's a lot of the same DNA coursing through the veins. Now you get to be a prison guard or prison whatever, and of course those guys are going to be corruptible to bring in stuff.
And the funny thing is they usually clear over $100,000 a year. guards.
Oh yeah, guards. They do. They got a good union out here.
The governor just signed for like $300 something million budget over the next 2 years on his way out of office. Funny how that.
So they can. You can get whatever you want in prison.
I mean, there's limits, like size wise. You got to be able to hide stuff, you know.
Right,
but yeah,
like alcohol's tougher, right?
Well, depending on what yard you're on. On one of the yards I was on, I was able to get in Cisco, Jack Daniels, like 15 Jumbo Jacks. Then you got like 12 Steel Reserve, 2 11s, carne asada. They alleged.
What's your preferred taco?
You're like carne asada.
Carne asada.
There it is.
Yeah.
Where's chicken rank?
I like chicken too. I like all of it.
What about the El Pastor?
Yeah,
the Al Pastor.
Yeah, all of that. I'll hit lunch trucks. You know, I love
Can
it.
Can I drive the lunch truck right onto the yard?
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
I want to go to prison now.
No, it's bad. That's you're at it. Bad. See how you said it would be a tie between being an officer and a criminal. You're just the only difference is you're at an extreme disadvantage on one end of it.
Do you have to take up with a group, a nationality in prison?
Pretty much when you walk in, you're just automatically in a group. If you're from a Hispanic gang, you'll just fall in with Southern Hispanic gang members. If you're white, you're just boom, you're automatically wood. You know, whether you want to or not, you're just automatically associated with, because as soon as you step on that yard, if somebody from a different car were to come and just start swinging on you, all they see is that you're white, you know, so they're going to jump in for you.
So black over here, white over there, Hispanic over there.
Yeah.
Jews over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Jews actually roll with the white car. It's real weird.
Yeah.
It's tripped out because they'll be like skinheads part of the same car, and then you just look at that guy and you're like, he's crying. You know?
The white guy's like, fine, I'll just come over here.
Do they have Asian gangs?
They fall in with the others.
Oh, they fall in.
So there's black, white, Mexican, other. Other is just anything other than black, white, Mexican.
Wow, Jews do the white guys.
It's like the couch in Animal House. Mm-hmm. You guys know each other, right?
Sit down, hey, yeah. Get to know each other.
Tune to the turban.
No, but it's kind of funny, but they don't have enough guys to cobble together their own gang, so they have to just kind of be an other in a gang that's like close enough.
Right. What about like trans and that sort of thing?
When I first got there, there was some on the yard, and then they just started transferring them to other prisons for like their own safety or something like that. And I haven't been there in like 10-ish years, so I don't know what it's looking like now.
I might go full Corporal Klinger, like if I got in that situation, like start wearing a bonnet and a dress everywhere.
Ribbons down the back.
Until I got brought over.
Transferred.
Well, you know, you're looking to do some easier time, and I feel like that'd be a better life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you have a question?
Yeah, wondering about the businesses that you're involved with now.
Okay, I'm in the escort field, manage, consult. I trade cryptocurrencies, more swing trading now. Market's a little weird, but I noticed a weird thing with the stocks. I just started getting into stocks and crypto, and lately crypto's been going down, and you'll see some of the stocks go up, and specifically Kodak. For some reason, you'll see like a 2-3% on Kodak increase when you see the cryptocurrency start to go down.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then when you start to see the stock market turn around, that's when you'll start to see the opposite effect on the cryptocurrency. So I just started catching on to that.
I talked to a guy I know that said most of the Silicon Valley guys, the quiet guys, are throwing the big parties, the kajillionaires who wear the cargo shorts and the flip-flops, and they're super cool, but they're super rich. Mm-hmm. Those guys, a big group of those guys bought the Bitcoin, and they're kind of controlling where it goes by what they do with it because they own so much of it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I would not doubt it either. Those nerds are quietly going to take over the world.
Digital currency, of course.
Let me tell you about TrueCar. I don't know if you can use cryptocurrency to get yourself a TrueCar. We'll try to work that out. Tips you may not know. Well, let's keep your windshield clean. I like that. It makes a big difference in your life. Keep your car clean, too. It's another big difference thing. Another tip you might not know, TrueCar also helps people get used cars with certified dealer network nationwide and an inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you always go with TrueCar. Find out what other people paid.
You get your price locked in. You get your certificate. Enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. And they're competing for your business as well. So even within the TrueCar family, they're keeping those prices as low as they can so they can win you over. When you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Richard Stanley is his name. Book Out, which is on Amazon as we speak. Richard, how do we contact you? Can we send you? You got a
Twitter,
a website, a tweet?
Yeah,
what
I have Twitter at Up on Gamebook. You can get me on upongamebook.com. You can purchase there. Name of the book's Up on Game, from Robbing Banks to Stacking Bitcoin.
There you go. That's the name of the book. And it was nice meeting you, Richard. I appreciate you coming by.
It was nice meeting you, too. Thank
you. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with news right after this.
The Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. The Beach is Free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble. You couldn't tell by now. Headlines the Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party. July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, we have a Harvey Weinstein update. Haven't done this in a while. He decided to put up a fight, according to TMZ. He pleaded not guilty Tuesday morning in a New York court to charges of rape and committing a criminal sexual act. He insists that the 10-year relationship he had with his accuser was consensual. He's free right now on $1 million bail. So he's going down with the ship.
The 10-year part helps his argument, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against this one specific...
Right, unless it's a room situation, it almost always helps the argument.
Yeah. Unless she's been held in a shed.
Right. Yeah. So the 10-year part helps, but he's in trouble. But what is she saying went on over 10 years?
Yeah. All of this is going to come out. This is going to be very public. We just don't have a lot of the details yet.
That's weird. If you pay, just having this thought, if you want to go in and pay some money for a woman to watch you beat off into a ficus tree, that's all kosher and dill, right? Like, you gave her $200, you beat off into a ficus tree, and
win, lose.
Yeah, like a blackjack dealer. Yeah. Done.
Like, you can, or you could put a bit in your mouth and pull her around like be a pony, and she could whip your ass, or you could whip her ass, like whatever the agreed upon act is.
Sure.
It's just terms.
No terms. Yeah. Now, I would imagine that some of this stuff is unspoken terms, which is we're in business for 10 years. Like, you want to keep this thing going, then you got to sort of watch me do this. So in its own way, I don't know any of the details, official particulars of this. I'd be curious, like, what her role was, what her job was, whatever. But some of this falls under the heading of, this is our financial agreement in a certain way. Otherwise, you don't put up with it. Look, if you go in there and want to do this, and there's nothing in it for anyone else, you go to the cops at night, or you storm out of the room. So what is her position?
Well, also, I guess it's, and Chris, maybe you could help with some of those details, but I guess it depends on whether you look at it as bribe or blackmail. You know, you don't keep doing this and you will never work again. You don't keep doing this and I'm going to out you as this, whatever.
That's true.
So we'll see, but the...
We don't know who she is?
What was her name?
Nurse Urbino.
Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Linda Fiorentino.
Yeah, maybe.
Mira Sorvino saw a Baldwin yesterday and said he's bringing her in on the Me Too. Oh,
that'll be interesting.
Front.
Awesome. Yeah, I bet.
So, something's going on with her, right?
Well, she was the Miramax queen for a long time, as was Gwyneth Paltrow.
She told stories.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of Me Too stories where
Alec's going to get it out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, any info on her?
We'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, sort of dovetails nicely into this. Last month, the new chair of the Miss America competition, by the way, we usually don't have it called that. It's called the pageant. Gretchen Carlson hinted at the possibility of dropping the swimsuit portion in light of the Times Up movement.
Yeah, let's see those titties. Drop them. Drop that swimsuit.
Up top.
I never thought I was going to agree with this, but I'm so for this.
This is an unfortunate way to word this. You're going to be really disappointed. It's official. Carlson, who was crowned Miss America in 89, announced, quote, "We are no longer a pageant. We are a competition. We will no longer judge our candidates on their outward physical appearance. That means we will no longer have a swimsuit competition." Carlson said they're also going
to
change.
Can I say this?
Yes.
Where are we heading? Like, no more car shows. Why? Because that guy's cool Corvette is better than the beige Tercel over there, and we're not doing that anymore. Like, at what point do we just stop the aesthetic on everything?
Well, I think at this point, it's frankly out of fashion to objectify women on TV. This is not a good time for that.
Oh, shit.
I mean, that's the thing. They want to stay out of the, you know,
well,
the gunfight.
Drop the fucking competition. Yeah, just knock it off. Yeah, then if it's antiquated, it's antiquated.
Do Common Core for your talent.
Well, listen, here's the deal, everybody. The aesthetic is a major component to the male-female interaction. That's how it works. That's why Gretchen Carlson has an anchor job or is on TV and is not flipping burgers.
She's a great journalist.
There's an element of the aesthetic. It's a two-way street. There are plenty of dudes that got where they are. I'm sure George Clooney's aesthetic has served him nicely over the years. I don't know why we're trying to get rid of this. We have male bodybuilding competitions. Yeah. That's an aesthetic. I don't think any guy is threatened by that. It's just that guy looks fantastic in his underpants.
And on top of that, we're not chloroforming beautiful women and they show up on stage and wake up and like, I'm in the middle of a pageant.
Yeah.
So like if we're at the point where we can't find 50 beautiful women who don't want to be a part of this, then maybe it's time to go. Then it's like this thing has run its course. But as long as there are people who vie for this thing, then obviously there's a market for it.
But the aesthetic, it's weird because we aestheticize everything, architecture, automobiles, all design, art, nature. It's like everything's an aesthetic. Everything's an attempt at aesthetic. When you walk into a 4-star hotel, it's all about the aesthetic. Should we just drop the aesthetic? This notion of like, well, it's making other hotels feel bad about the Red Roof Inn doesn't feel good about itself because it has a real wide lobby and it can't lose the tile weight.
The tonnage.
Yes, I don't know. I'm fine with women who would like, who have a good aesthetic, who would like to involve themselves in this. And I'm fine with all who don't as well. And whatever we're trying to correct through this sort of social engineering, it'll never work because the hot chick walks in the room and everyone turns.
Right.
That's the way everyone is wired. And then the chick who's a 4 doesn't work that way. It doesn't mean she's not going to find somebody. It doesn't mean she's not going to be loved. It doesn't mean she couldn't run a Fortune 500 company. In my world, she has a better shot of it because she tends to focus a little less on dates and a little more on hitting the books, and big picture kind of works out for them. But this notion of we got to get rid of who we are and make it go away, and then somehow that's going to stop what, I don't know. And as far as the message that gets sent, there is no message. My daughter is interested in her aesthetic. My son is not interested in his aesthetic. That is who they are. Mm-hmm. We can try like fuck to get rid of it, but good luck getting my daughter not to pick out the dress she's going to wear to the wedding that weekend in Chicago. And good luck trying to get my son to try something on so that he looks good. Good luck to us. Yeah. And then what is evolvement? Well, what is our utopia? Our utopia is he doesn't give a shit about his slacks and she doesn't give a fuck about her dress? Or is our utopia that they care equally about her dress and his slacks? And good fucking luck to you, everybody. Jesus Christ. We just have to stop deciding that everything is broken.
Yeah, and like you said, the social engineering of things that are opt-in seems very strange to me. Like, I think of football in the same way, which is it a little bit barbaric? Yeah. Are we educated enough that we should be past the... Yeah. Is it wildly popular? Mm-hmm. Yes. Do people want to play? Like, are there not more people who want to play than can play? Yes. And so as long as there are... Is
the market is still deciding.
As long as it's an opt-in thing. We're not forcing people like gladiators to participate in this thing. It's there. It is.
Well, they're going to change the evening gown portion, too. They're going to make that a little
potato
more...
Potato sack.
Yeah.
They're outlawing...
Look, pickle barrel.
Then they should be outlawing makeup and lip gloss and any other thing that would help the aesthetic, right? How about lighting?
Combs.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That's going to air in September, so have a look.
Yeah, awesome. No one's going to watch.
Yeah. A Long Island man is suing CVS after a pharmacist allegedly talked about his use of an erectile dysfunction drug with his wife. The New York Post reports that Michael Feinberg had a prescription for Viagra that he would pay for himself. He worked it out so it would not go through his insurance. So when Feinberg's wife called the pharmacy just to check on something about her status of her prescription, the employee allegedly opened up about her husband's secret Viagra drug. Mm. Feinberg claims the pharmacy chain violated his privacy under HIPAA. Now that word has been leaked to his wife. Feinberg said that the marriage is breaking down.
Was he using it with someone else?
Well, that is undisclosed. They make it sound like she's so horrified that he was using Viagra in their relationship that now he's in a pickle.
How old is he?
It doesn't say. Mm-hmm. He's seeking unspecified damages for negligence. A spokesman for CVS said the highest priority on protecting the privacy of those we serve is what we focus on. But Brian, I was thinking the exact same thing. We never have sex. Why do you have a Viagra prescription? So I think there's more to this story.
Sounds fishy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's her deteriorating vagina.
How dare you?
Mm. I went to the CVS to pick up a prescription and they had two windows. All I want to do is walk around and fix everyone and coach everyone all the time. And I'd never been to this place before. I never picked up anything in this place before. And I just walked to the window and it was like they had one open window with looked like the pharmacy. And I just walked to it and I said, I'm here to pick up a prescription. And I gave my name and they said, are you also here to drop something off? And I said, no, just here to pick something up. And they said, and not drop anything off? And I said, no. And she went, well, you're at the drop-off window. And I was like, oh. And then I just stood back and looked, and it had no markings on it at all. Yeah. And the other one had no markings. There was another one, which is the pickup window.
4 inches away.
And it was 20 feet away, but they're both exactly the same. And I just thought, I know your policy is always, our customers know, but... I don't know. Why not label things? Like, what's wrong with everyone all the time? Why not? I didn't know there was a drop-off, number one. But if there is, then just put the drop-off there and then put the pickup over there.
We
can avoid this.
I know it's part of your everyday life, but literally this is not part of mine. So understand people can make it for the first time. And
would you like new business?
Yeah. Just like Hero Alaskan Airlines, who did the... people know that the green tag means gate check and that the orange tag means carousel check.
Nope.
Speaking of Alaskan, by the way, they're so horrible. They're just the shittiest airline in the world. Just not that they're shitty, their people are horrible. Right. Their people are fucking horrible. They're assholes, and they're intentionally assholes. And Matt DeAndrea was explaining to me that he flew, and he got the Premium Plus package or whatever, and it's the 3 inches of knee room and like free drinks and a free entree or whatever. And his ticket was like ticket seat 9. And they sat in it, and on this particular flight, seat 8 was designated for the premium with the free drinks and the whatever, and they paid for it and everything, and they just went, well, you're in seat 9. And he's like, can we move to seat 8? He's like, no, you cannot. Well, can we get our free drinks? No, you may not. It's like, why not? Because that's seat 8.
What?
Like, but you moved us back. We have the thing. Yeah. On the flight in, it was seat 9. On the flight out, it's moved to seat 8. You guys have seat 9. That's not the premium package that you paid for. And he's like, well, can we just switch seats with the people who are sitting in front of us? By the way,
they're in our seats.
They're now getting the knee room and the free leg room. No. And the thing that makes Alaskan Airlines fucking horrible is their people. Their people are horrible. It's not the equipment. It's their people. It's the guy at SeaTac who told me when I said, oh, I don't have my bag. Could you send some? No. Where's how do I get my bag? I'm through security. I'm outside of the airport. I'm at the carousel. Well, do you have your boarding pass? No, I don't. You don't? No. Why not? I don't need it anymore. Can you call the gate? No. What can I do? I can issue you a temporary pass. Well, what do I do? That get back in security. Oh, go through security again. I've had so many things with Alaskan Airlines. What makes Alaskan Airlines dicky? Like, is it run by one horrible Eskimo? There's just one fucking Nanook from the north who's just fucking angry. Like, where's my seal blubber? I'm angry. I'm going to sharpen my spear. I'm my harpoon. I'm angry. There's something about that company that makes them dickheads. And Matt DeAndrea was like saying to him, well, look, we paid for the ticket. Can we just get our free drinks and our free meal? You see, we paid for the premium seat. And they're like, no, you can't because you're not in the right seat. And then they don't talk to you.
That's insane.
Like, they don't answer you. That's what makes. I flew a fucking Alaskan Airlines flight. It was just one of those walk out on the tarmac and go out on like. And they shut the door. When I went to the bathroom, I came back, the door was shut. And my guys, August and Lynch, were on the plane. And I was like, are you going to reopen that door? And they're like, have a seat. And I'm like, did I miss this flight? Because when the door shut, it always scares the shit out of you.
That's it.
And it wasn't to the plane. It was to walk out to the plane. And like, sir, have a seat. And then like another guy came by, bought a sandwich. And he was like, are you going to open the door? And she's like, sir, we'll tell you what's going on. And she could have just said, we shut it. We're going to open it. But she fucking, Alaskan Airlines are dickheads. And I don't know why. I don't know why you guys want to set yourself apart for being assholes to everybody. But your attitudes are fucking horrible. I flew Alaska before and I had like my bag at the thing. And I said, I'm going to the Hudson newsstand or like literally next to where the bag and the airport was empty. And she's like, sir, bring your bag with you. Like from the counter. And I was like, I'm just getting a magazine while I'm She said, sir, I'm going to take the bag. There's something wrong with the personality of Alaskan Airlines. And I don't know what that is, but if you run Alaskan Airlines, please look into this. You have a weird climate over there of dickhead. Intentional. I've run into it many, many times. Please fucking fix it. Would you please? Sorry.
You know what the sad irony is? And it's not shitting on your point. It's actually a sort of a sad state of airline travel. J.D. Power just released their customer satisfaction survey for airlines. Alaska Airlines, number one.
Huh?
Number one.
How?
Now, that's not... I had bad experience with them, too. This is the sad state of where we are. Like, yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's
they're
best.
They're marginal slash below average, but they're the best
chilling,
we got.
Chilling,
well,
does that count?
Maybe. Hold on.
It
yes,
was,
but I want to say this.
Bad.
Maybe. My experiences were 7 or 8 years old. Matt DeAndrea was 2 weeks old.
This is the 11th consecutive year. Campaign is number one.
What?
11. That is the sad state of air travel.
Well, maybe they don't like podcasters or something.
No, I agree.
I don't know what happened to poor Matt.
Please go back to him.
Oh my God!
Shut him down.
Contradict.
Contradict.
Still going?
Shut him down.
Contradict.
Bo Brian. Cancel out.
Disagree.
Disagree.
Cancel out.
Cancel out.
Disagree. Ball Brian.
It's good.
11 years.
I'm gonna show him that song and say it was too long.
They're waiting for their moment.
Really? How long have you had that pocketed?
Hey,
wow.
Man.
2 months?
Oh, 2 months. I got out my game.
Oh, that was great.
I don't know if that counts, though.
Thanks, Dick Banks. No, kind of, but
it's still
Jesus.
A fun excuse to play the song.
That's all right. Amazing.
Let me tell you about Geico. There you go. Geico, man. How about you save a whole bunch of money on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pockets, the most rewarding thing you're going to do all day. But keep that song ready, because awesome. We need to hear that in its
entirety.
Go back
to improv class. We're doing a Herald.
Yeah. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, one more.
All right. Well, it's summertime. All the good fruits and summer produces are out. So we're just going to give you a little tip if you want to steer clear of some of the bad stuff. If you're wary of the promises of organic produce, you're not into it, it's too expensive, maybe just this one piece of fruit. You should definitely go organic. Any guesses which one it is?
I'm trying to think of what has the most critters or what things.
They
what,
almost like, always say stuff that you don't peel. So yeah. Oranges, bananas.
Think
are out.
Nooks and crannies.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say like kale. Or, is this a fruit or a vegetable?
Well, either. Okay. Just pick one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say kale?
Things in the ground, I feel like, too. Like in the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'll go beet.
Okay. Well, you were actually closer, Brian, on the second worst. But once again, for the third straight year, strawberries top the environmental working group because they're just so porous.
They attract a lot of
fruits and vegetables with the most pesticide residue. Others view this report were skeptical, but again, third year in a row because they just hold on to a lot. About a third of all strawberry samples had at least 10 different pesticides. One sample had 22 different pesticides. Following strawberries on that dirty dozen list was spinach, in which 97% of the samples contain pesticides.
And leafy vegetables are pretty bad.
Yeah, rounding out the top five were nectarines, apples, and grapes, which you wouldn't think on some of those really smooth surfaces, but stay away from those, apparently, unless you go organic, because there's going to be a lot of extra stuff on there.
I got to tell you, if you're around here, I had a nectarine tree. That nectarine tree, every other year, would just blow up with nectarines.
Best.
I would go out, and the nummiest thing ever... Let's go out and pick like three or four great examples. I would chop them up into wedges. I'd throw them in a bowl. I'd take a little like Trader Joe's syrup, like boysenberry syrup or whatever, and I'd give it a little drizzling over that and then mix it all up and put a little fresh whipped cream over the top.
God.
Just the most delectable dessert.
Treat yourself, son.
Yeah.
that's
what I was.
There is no better smell on the planet than a nectarine or a peach. I could just hold it to my nose and walk around.
I agree. I love a nectarine. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
No tienes los huevos para robar un banco.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Paraphrasing one of those Jews who got folded into the
sure.
lowriders. Castrol Edge, man. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful and more efficient. Pressure is up, man, as much as... five cars resting on a high heel. That's what it feels like now. I have to get those engines to work harder, and that's why I need Castrol Edge. And they've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. Inspired by the need for speed video games, you find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. You see for yourself at Castrol Edge and watch them deliver under the most demanding circumstances. And check out the video, Castrol USA YouTube page. A really cool video, Castrol USA YouTube page. All right. Once again, Portland, I'll see you on Saturday for the second show. You can check out the podcast masterclass. Lots of good info there brought by everyone here. I mean, Gina was great. Bald was fantastic. And Dawson, top of his game. Lots of great information over there. And download that Podcast One app. You can live stream today's show, right? Yeah, watch on live on my Facebook page. Gesselary Miller will be in there. 4 o'clock Eastern. And take the survey at Podcast One, podcastone.com/mysurvey. It just helps. So you can go to Podcast One and click on the survey banner. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grand, Richard Stanley, and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Oh, by the way, I just didn't wipe myself.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. New shows every week. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. A couple of tickets left for Saturday night's taping in Portland. Second show. You want to get your tickets now. Get them online at adamcarolla.com.